It's Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan, Sports Radio 66, WFAN New York.
Here we go!
Yo, 605, nice job, Eddie Skazarian. Welcome, Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan. And, of course, worldwide on MSG. As we broadcast live from the Allstate Insurance Studios, you are now listening to the Boomer and Carton radio program all the way to 10 o'clock. Number to hang, as always, 877-337-6666, made possible by Mohegan Sun. We have a great show for you today. Some Knicks basketball, as the Knickerbockers do what exactly I told you they would do, and that's falter down the stretch and lose to the Orlando Magic. They get a chance to right the wrong tonight at the Garden, and Booms and I will be there for that game. So we do have some Knick talk for you today. Cameron Diaz tells you why she and A-Rod get along so well, and it involves a third party. We'll explain that to you. The New York Jets have to fight off the rumors that their star linebacker got hurt in a TNA wrestling match with Hulk Hogan. So we'll break that down for you as I talked personally with Bart Scott yesterday. And the Jets also make it clear what players they have no intention of giving up for next year, and you might be surprised by one of them. We got the New Jersey Nets looking to become the first team in NBA history to lose on not one, not two, but three continents in 1 year. That's right, Nets basketball. Come get some. And you got the latest on Jeter in the swing and the fact that Jabba Chamberlain will not be a Yankee for the entire year. So lots cooking. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
I'm doing okay, Craigie. Watching these games last night, whether it be the Knicks or the Rangers, I'll tell you, the Garden right now is not got you know, it's not very happy. Especially after watching what the Knicks did last night, and how it's just amazing to me that your big three could score 85 points and then you still lose the game.
Well, the last night's game was a bit of an aberration in that there were 92 free throws taken in last night's game, which I've never seen in my life before.
Was it 92 or 97?
I think it was 92. But we'll double check it. It was over 90 for sure. When Billups hit last one, it was 92. Maybe it was more. Who knows? Listen, the Knicks blew an 11-point lead in the second half. On the road against, we admit, a very good team. And your boy Jameer Nelson, he threw it up. It went in last night.
Yeah, I know.
Which is not going to happen every night. But, the big three take 50 shots. They score 80 points. And you lose a game that you'd have doubled that you lead in. Bad loss.
It's kind of interesting that they actually have played now Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Orlando. And all three of those teams, offensively, were like on fire.
Well, the difference, though, is that Howard's a legitimate stud.
Yeah, he had 30 points. He had
when J.J. Hickson of the Cleveland Cavaliers is dropping 20 and Antoine Jameson puts a 28 spot on you, you're not playing defense. Howard going off against you is going to happen.
Yeah, but Howard, I don't mind that. Listen, Howard's going to score his 30 points. I'm not worried about that. Chauncey Billups had 30 points last night, and so did Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, but Chauncey Billups had like 18 points from the free throw
line. So what?
I'm just saying.
His job is to go to the rack, baby. I know it is.
Very weird game. Listen, the Knicks can turn around tonight. Their second home game with Carmelo. The Garden's going to be pumped tonight. And they'll win tonight.
I will say
and
this.
That'll be that.
I know you say they're going to win. Number one, we don't know if Chauncey Billups will play tonight. And number two, that's a long trip coming back and having to go play a basketball game tonight.
Now, Knicks, I haven't checked the spread yet, and the spread tells me everything I need to know. But I'd be shocked if I don't pick the Knicks to win tonight, Booms.
All right, good.
They're undefeated at home with Carmelo.
Yeah, I know they are.
Chauncey here. But, hey, listen, the fact is the Knicks, it's old school, baby. It's 1994 over again because here's a regular season road game, and it's the back page of every paper in town, right? And the Knicks have taken over right now. Now, baseball will rear its big-time head in a couple weeks now, but right now it's a Knick town, and that can't be disputed. That's the reality, Booms.
Well, the other thing is that you have
the New York
Rangers who are very frustrating right now.
No. The New York
so
Rangers.
So frustrating.
Right, because it's hockey and they're not going to make the playoffs, which I've been telling you for a long time now.
Stop with that. I don't know why you jump to conclusions and say they're not going to win their, go to the playoffs.
Because the way they're going right now, Boomer.
Well, that's the way hockey
goes. They're not
going
to be in the playoffs the way they're playing right now.
If they play the way that they did last year at the end of the year, they'll be going. So don't worry about it. I'm not jumping, off the bridge just yet.
The other big thing we're going to talk to you about today, and we're going to have a very delicate conversation about it throughout the morning, and that is the fact that you are now 48 hours away from the NFL season being kiboshed, at least temporarily,
right,
with this collective bargaining agreement. Now, I don't know anyone inside that room. You do. I'm not sure if anyone's talked to you. They probably haven't, because there is a bit of a agreement that they won't start spilling their guts. And I think most of them are probably honoring that. As far, you know, that has been a single leak that I've been aware of. I assume you're the same on that. And we're going to try to break it down to you and let the average blue-collar fan have a voice today, because we are in New York. I know that all the guys in the NFL listen to this show on a daily basis. And I think it's good for them, not just the owners, but the players too. Because as I said yesterday, and you and I talked about it yesterday, they're all culpable here.
Well,
but I don't think, and this is the thing that scares me the most about this pending doom of the upcoming NFL season. And you take all the rhetoric out of it. Let's just dumb it down and break it down to its most banal level. Yes?
All right.
All right. Here's the deal. I think both sides, the owners for sure and the players this time around, lose complete
sympathy?
I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking
for. Understanding?
Yeah, you want to go that way. Of the people that have made them rich. Us,
true,
the fans.
I know.
And I think, you know, it was different back when you guys went out, because the money was a lot different. Not that you guys didn't make more than the average person. You did.
Well,
but it wasn't this kind of money.
Let me put it in perspective, okay? In 1987, I had just signed a brand new contract. The Bengals gave me this contract. I was their player rep. And I think due in large part to try to get me to minimize the aggression that I had going into that particular work stoppage. And I was the highest paid player in the league in 1987 when I signed that contract in August of 87. And it was for $1.2 million a year.
Right.
Now, fast forward some 24 years later, the players at the top of the food chain, meaning the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's of the world, are making about $23 million a year.
Right.
So they're being paid over $1 million a game.
Right.
So Tom Brady and Peyton Manning will have made more money in 1 year than I had made my entire career.
Oh, they'll
career.
Make triple what
no,
you
no,
made in your
one,
whole
in
career,
one,
though.
No, but in 1 year.
Oh, one game.
One
Got
year.
It.
One year.
Right.
1 year, they'll make more money than I made my entire career.
Sure.
And I know that it's hard for people to understand how the players in this situation have anything to argue about. And know this, folks. The players are more than happy with the way the system is
the
going right
now. The current system, right.
They'll stay the system the way it is.
And that system, real quick, is the owners take the first billion off the top for themselves, and then the remaining $8 billion of revenue, and it's $8 billion that would be left, 60% goes to the players, 40% goes to the owners, but the owners have taken the first billion for themselves.
I think it's like 58-42 or something like that.
Rounding.
But and to me, you know, it's great to see John Mara there, because it was his father who allowed the league to become what it is today, because he shared all the revenues with his other owners at the time. There are owners in a league, the Buffalo Bills, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Carolina Panthers, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Kansas City Chiefs, all the small market owners that are screaming and yelling that the teams like the Dallas Cowboys, the New England Patriots, the Jets, the Giants, the Washington Redskins are making way too much money, and those other teams can't afford to stay in the same financial ballpark as they are. There is an argument amongst the 32 owners that never gets talked about how the Dallas Cowboys can make $150 million a year and the Cincinnati Bengals only make $30 million a year. So, you know, the argument is there, and the lower-end owners, you know, they want more money. I get all of that, and the only way that they can get more money, there's only two ways. Okay, or three ways if you really want to expand the thought process here. Three ways would be get more money from TV and radio and
which it would be unreal that they could actually get more than they get.
Well,
but that, okay,
that's why they want to have another game or two added to the
schedule.
To
bring a TNT into the mix, something
to get
like
more
that,
money
right?
That way.
Right.
That's one way. Okay, but they'll still have to share it 32 ways with the other teams.
For sure.
The second way would be to share some of the money from the top end owners to the bottom end owners, much like the Yankees do
right.
in Major League Baseball. They don't want to do that.
Never
because
happened,
the Dan Snyders of the world and the Jerry Jones of the world are never going to let that happen. Or three, make the players take less money out of the designated gross revenue, less percentages. And that's where they are right now. Those lower-end owners, those, if you want to call them militant owners, are the ones that are driving this right now.
All right, well, listen, we'll get into it with you. At 7 o'clock this morning, it'll be an opportunity for you, the average fan, to let the NFL owners and the players know, and I know for a fact they're listening, at 7 o'clock this morning, what it's like being an average blue-collar fan, how much money you make a year, how much of that money you then earmark to go watch your favorite team and buy a jersey for your kid at Christmas. And you're going to let them know at 7 o'clock this morning how much this means to you. Because they've lost complete sight from PSLs to $10 hot chocolates to $40 to park to obscene ticket prices and everything else. They have forgotten about you. And at 7 o'clock this morning, you'll have your say.
And just know this one thing. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals, I always go back to them because I always think he's the sneakiest of all the owners. He's the guy that tries to do things behind the players' backs, and the players aren't even aware of what's going on until you finally figure it out, you know, what he has done for workman's comp in the state of Ohio and how he has, kept it at a minimum for the professional athletes in the state of Ohio, all different kinds of things. Know this, the Cincinnati Bengals cost $6 million in 1969. That's what their franchise fee was to get into the NFL. They are now worth about $900 million to $1 billion.
Pretty good investment.
And they have probably the sweetest of all stadium deals in which the city of Cincinnati, the county of Hamilton, basically foot the entire bill for that stadium. And now they go back to the city of Cincinnati, the county of Hamilton, and say, hey, listen, we need $48 million worth of refurbishments to that stadium. We ain't paying it. You're paying it.
We will get into it at 7 o'clock. We start you off, though, with the Knicks last night and a bad road loss to the Orlando Magic. And, of course, they're 500 now with the new assortment of players. Now, am I worried about it? No, I'm not. Why? Because I sat here on this show yesterday, and I told you that the spread was telling me that the Knicks were not going to win the game. Even up 11 in the third quarter, I sat back. I had a glass of, I'm not going to lie to you, Boomer, I had several of these glasses last night because I was out with my sister getting it on, right?
Getting it on with your sister.
Well, you know, we went to Bootycon, and we had a couple nice cocktails and some appetizers.
You're getting it on with your sister.
Well, getting it on in a manner of watching the Knicks game.
Oh, okay.
We were getting her done. Is what we were doing.
Now, listen, your sister's very good looking.
I had La Reserva Familia, a little tequila that I've now fallen in love with. And I go, baby doll, listen, they're up 11. She goes, I heard you on the radio. You said they couldn't win. I go, I'm going to sit back and relax. I'm going to sip my little La Reserva Familia, and you're going to watch an implosion like you couldn't expect. And what happened? They imploded. And then it came down to this. And this is, again, why.
You call your sister baby doll.
Baby doll, that's right. This is why you never wager on an NBA game.
That's a little weird.
The spread was 7 last night. The Orlando Magic are up 8. Clock is ticking down. The game is over, right?
Right.
Amari Stoudemire gets the ball on the baseline. And tick tock, tick tock. Amari Stoudemire makes an uncontested two-handed dunk. Shazam! That brings it down to 116-110.
Right.
6. Orlando then brings the ball across half court. Obviously, no one's going to foul at that point, right?
Right.
They dribble out the clock, and if you took the 7, you win. If you laid the 7, you lose. Mm. A meaningless, uncontested, we call that in the gambling world, Boomer, backdoor cover. And that's why you never gamble on the NBA.
That would drive me crazy.
Crazy, my friend.
Listen,
crazy.
You and I had a little wager yesterday, so you won your hundy back.
I won my hundy back because I had them straight up, Orlando.
Yeah, I just figured that the Knicks would come in. You know, what does that loss tell you about the Miami Heat?
Nothing.
Really?
It's the NBA. It tells me nothing.
I know.